How many people when you're praying in your house and you get excited? I don't know about you, but I turned that song on. Carl spent the night last night, and every Sunday morning, you can ask my wife, I turn that song on through our deal on the wall there, and I turn it all the way up, and I run around the house, and I dance, and I praise the Lord. I love that song, and I feel like God likes it. You know, sometimes you just get in the spirit, and you're talking in tongues, and you're running around, and it's way too early in the morning, and honey's like, come on, and slams the door, and you're just like, woo! And but you say hallelujah, and then you go, woo! Hallelujah, 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 woo! Praise God, praise God. I feel like, you know, we all worship in different ways. Hallelujah, you know, that's 10,000 praises, but, you know, to me, 100,000 is woo! You know? So, anyways, I just had to share that. Pretty excited tonight. This is awesome. Here we are, another CIP graduation. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You guys can be seated. You guys can sit down. Oh, praise the Lord. So we can't do this without people's help. I always like to start by thanking, giving credit where credit is due. I want to personally thank anybody and everybody who's ever been involved with CIP. If you've been involved in CIP in any way, shape, or form, please stand. Anybody. If you've driven, taught, been in the classes, took the classes, graduated, didn't graduate, got kicked out. Audrey, I still love you. This can't happen without you guys. This can't happen without you guys, and we are so thankful. I mean, it's, you know, I always say we're a big family, and it's just, we can't, what goes on? We can't do it without you guys' help, you know, and it's super awesome. I'm going to be short and sweet. I want to bring the man of God up soon. But there's something that I just wanted to share with you guys, and I believe that, you know, through the week, you know, when, for me, sometimes, I don't know if it happens for anybody else that preaches or has to speak, I feel like sometimes God puts things in your path that week, you know, and shows you some stuff that might, you know, you need to share with everybody. And I think it's really important, I say this a lot, but that as things happen and stuff, we need to share the testimonies of what God is doing in our lives with each other. You know, I mean, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And if God is moving in your life, you know, you need to share that. That's the word of God. That's the action of God. That's the rhema word of God. That's the action. Acts chapter 29. It stopped at 8. We are chapter 29. Amen. It keeps on going. So praise God. But anyways, I'm part of the local 601 Steam Fitters, and they asked me to go to this union trades show, where all the trades get together and they kind of share what they do, the plumbers, the fitters, the tinners, all the trades, the electricians and all this stuff. And so they bus kids in from all over Wisconsin, high schoolers. And I wish that they would have done this when I was in high school. But there was all kinds of kids, and we got to share things, you know, what we do for a job and stuff. And you know, sometimes you ask kids, hey, what's your plan? And what's your plans? What are you planning on doing with your life? And Brother Thompson, you know, I think we both might have talked to the same fella. And I'm sharing this because I had to repent myself after, you know, what Brother Roy said this morning and stuff. But this kid comes up to me, you know, sup? You know, he's got this attitude, and his pants are falling off, hairs and all over the place, and it just doesn't look like he's got his stuff together. You know what I mean? He was looking for an excuse to get out that day of school and go do something else. You know, he probably snuck off and maybe smoked some cigarettes or something else or whatever. You know what I mean? It was just like, you know what I mean? You're like, and I said, man, what, he came up and I was like, you know, what are you going to do? He's like, I'm going to be an astronaut. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, inside I'm going, what, are you kidding me here? You know? And you know, he just didn't look like he was going to be an astronaut. You know, I didn't see astronaut there. You know, it was just, it didn't. I thought, you know, I'm going to see this guy in the CIP. You know, I'm like, all right, I'm going to, you know, I love you, man. I'll see you soon. You know what I mean? But the thing about it is, though, church, right? I got a check not too far after that. You can't judge a book by its cover. God knows what's going to happen with that kid. God knows what's going on in that kid's life. I don't. He could be putting on a front. The kid's probably hurting. His life is probably all busted up and twisted around, and you know, you don't know. And I had to repent, because who am I to judge whether or not that kid's going to be an astronaut, whether he's going to go to the moon, whether or not he's going to be a preacher someday? You know? So no matter what, we just got to plant seeds in them people's lives. Sow a seed in that person's life and be a light. Not laugh at them. Encourage them. You know, and I'm guilty of it. And so I just wanted to be open and honest with you guys. And, you know, had people not seen something in me, Brother Thomas, you know, when I asked him to date his daughter, you know, I mean, whew. God bless Brother Thomas. He said, yes, sir. Who am I to say, if God forgave me, how much more can I forgive you? You know what I'm saying? And that, to me, I wanted to share that with everybody. And the CIP, dream big. Don't worry about what other people think. Get in the house of God, and we're going to help you. We're going to help you to the moon. You know what I'm saying? That's what we're here for. Roger, you will be an iron worker. You're going to be a good one. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's unbelievable. The other day I'm walking around the house, and you guys ever just get, you know, I remember the last time I was in a jail cell and waking up, and, you know, I just was like, what goes on here again, you know? And then the other day I'm walking around my house, and I'm just thanking God. I'm just thanking God. You know, I'm walking around my yard. I'm thanking God. I got a yard to walk in. I got a house I live in now. It used to be a 4x8. You know what I mean? I got a car to drive. I got a good job going on. But like Pastor Roy said this morning, there's something that I have to do, though. It requires effort on my part. God will do what God does so long as you grab his hand and you do what he says to do. Then look out. But you let your pride get lifted up. You let your pride get lifted up. Uh-oh. It ain't going to go so good. I'll see you in the CIP. So, we have some graduates here tonight. We have some people that went through the 20-week program. They put their back into it. They came, been through some ups and downs. Janine, I love you. I'm so glad you're here. You know I looked at you. Does everybody know Janine? She graduated a while ago. Hallelujah. You can never leave. So, but these people, they went through the program. They worked hard at it. And if somebody would have judged me by the way I looked when I was in my low, by the way somebody looks when they come through that door because they got that white bracelet on, we're not about that here, are we? We look far past that. We see what you can become. We see your potential. I see potential over here. I see potential all across this room. There's a whole bunch of astronauts in here. Amen? Hallelujah. So, again, I just want to thank everybody who's ever been involved in the CIP. It's so awesome. It's such a rewarding ministry. You all know that. And church, your prayers, your support, your fellowship, you guys supporting them. The garage sale is coming. Bring all your junk and drop it off next week. We'll sell it for you. It's going to a good cause. Don't forget about that. But we want to, I want to give the graduates a time here so they can say what's on their mind. Matthew Moran, come on up. Woo! Woo! Eileen James. Sister James! And last but not least, Tim Sussek. Come on up, brother. Thank you, buddy. Thank you. You ready? All right. I'm going to give these guys a moment to speak here. And smile, because they're going to take pictures, right?
Woo!
Isn't that how Noah started it?
Woo! I just wanted to thank everybody in the church, and especially everybody that's involved with the CIP program to make this possible, to help me get myself back on track. I'd also like to thank the people in 4I and the members from the A-team and my bunk girl who helped keep me going. And most of all, I'd really like to tell one person, special person, how much I really appreciate all she has done for me and how much I love her. And that's my mom. Thank you.
I just want to say thank you to everyone that's involved in the CIP program. Do a little help with a few friends in the audience who helped me through the situation. And I just want to say thank you, and I'm grateful, and God bless all of you. Thank you.
Well, I didn't really want to sign up for the class. I had a good friend that suggested I take it. And I'm thinking, I don't want to. So I procrastinated, but I finally did it. And a lot of it was basic because I grew up in the church and everything else. But the caring of the people that teach it and just the spirit that's in it, it's amazing. And I want to thank all the teachers. Thank you, Noah, Calvin, Jason, and I just appreciate everybody. I'm thankful for my family who loves me. And I thank God for all he's done for me.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. 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 If you guys would stay standing and join Bishop in prayer for the graduates.
And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this great opportunity to be in your house, to share, Lord Jesus, the testimony of your grace and your goodness. We're thankful, God, for these graduates. We're thankful, God, that you have dealt with them, that you've given them the desire, Lord, to go through the entire program. Thank you, Lord, that they have graduated. And I pray, God, that all of their life that you would lead them, direct them. Don't let them ever forget what you have done for them. We thank you, God, for this program. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for Calvary Gospel Church. Thank you, Lord, for Calvary and your shed blood. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, 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 amen.
Hallelujah. Congratulations, you guys. You can be seated. Praise God. Isn't that exciting? That's what we're all about here. Changing lives. There was one man that, through my last incarceration and my journey, who believed in me when I was like that astronaut, that young astronaut walking around in the jail. And he believed in me. He put forth time. He put forth effort. I know he was praying for me. I'm so appreciative of him. He's a mentor, a great friend, an awesome speaker. And we just really appreciate Brother Hawk for all he's done for this program. Sister Hawk, if you would come up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come on, brother. Hallelujah. We're so thankful. Brother Hawk, would you bring the word? Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, church. You may be seated. I want to thank Brother Noah for this opportunity to present to the CIP graduates and CIP current class and to the church at large. I also want to thank the bishop and pastor, the bishop that had the vision to reach out to those that are lost, the pastor that has the vision also to continue to carry on this wonderful work that the Lord has been doing. And also I want to thank the church for being supportive of it. Glory to God. This has been a real life-changing program in a lot of different ways. In the community, we've had a lot of people have gone through this program over the years. And we see a lot of them in the community. And people come up to us and tell us that I'm doing well, I'm not doing so well. You know, it's a matter of choice. It always has been, and it will continue to be. But when I sit back and people start hearing about me and the things that I have done, and I don't have a problem sharing my testimony. I don't hold it back. Most of everyone has gone to this church or been to more than one or two graduations where I was up here speaking. They know the fact that my institution number is 36107A, that I've been to prison 5 times, that I was alcohol and drug addict for over 20 years, that I've been a lot of negative things, a hustler, liar, cheater, womanizer. I've been all of those things in my past. But there are certain things that I am not. And tonight, I am not a cheerleader. I am not here to pump you up. I'm not here to try to make you feel better about yourself. I'm here to tell you the truth. Because if I had had the truth given to me a long time ago, maybe I wouldn't stand here and say the things that I've said, that I've been to prison 5 times, that I've spent years and wasted thousands and thousands of dollars on alcohol and drugs, chasing dreams that just ended up in dead ends. It has been said that a man or a woman who lives their life at 50 as if they're still 20, they've wasted 30 years of their life. And you can't get away from that. It's the truth. I'm not judgmental. I can't be from where I've come from, but there are some faces here that I've seen repeatedly. And it's like, why don't you get it? What's so hard about it? And the more I thought about that, the Lord put something on my heart, and most of you who know, I don't preach long, so just bear with me, and I'm going to get through this. But I want to talk about traps tonight. And I'm not talking about the term street traps from the old school, because, when old school you go out to check your trap, you're going to see what the money is, what's going on, You're going to go and make a pickup. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that one. What I am talking about are different types of traps. There are steel-jawed leg traps. These traps are placed where animals would be passing through and catch the animals by the limbs, one of their legs. They're padded leg hold traps that they're called humane traps because they have nylon on them and they don't dig into the animal, but nonetheless they restrain it. They're snare traps. They're corny bear traps. A lot of different types of traps, but they're all designed to do the same thing. No matter what the shape, some are designed to break your back to kill you instantly. Some are designed for slow death. Some are just designed to hold you in place. Actually, this morning, Brother Roy talked about, he used the Psalms, I think it was Psalms 91, where he talked about the snare. And the snare is one of the worst traps that there is. And for those of you who may not know what a snare is nothing more than a loop with a rope attached to it and a rope pulled through it. That's all it is. And then it's anchored to the ground so that you cannot get away. The traps that I want to talk about briefly tonight are real and they're metaphoric. And metaphoric is just a term, a word that means another way of saying something, but the meaning still comes out the same. There are a lot of traps in this world. And most of these traps we step into as people out of ignorance. We step into a lot of traps at times because of what we see our parents in those formative years when we're growing up. If our parents are drinking and doing drugs, our role models is who these people are. And if it's good enough for my parents to do, then it's good enough for me to do. So we grow up not realizing, not understanding the implication of their overall life. We don't connect the fact that my parents are drinking and using drugs, you know, all the time, staying out late, not following through and doing the things that they say that they're going to do or supposed to do, breaking promises. And here we are lost. They don't follow through with the things that they're supposed to do for us. They don't fulfill those promises. And we don't connect the fact that what they're doing over here directly affects what's happening over here. And that's the effect of children. I think back to a time that I bought a dog. I bought a Siberian Husky, a purebred Husky. And I was in the midst of my alcohol and my drug use. And my kids loved that dog. My son, when things would go wrong, my son was ADD, you know, and he was hyperactive. He was always getting into trouble. But whenever he got into trouble, he would go out with that dog and sit on the back porch and talk to it. That dog was his best friend. My daughter loved that dog. The dog had a litter of puppies. And shortly after having that litter of puppies, she went into heat again. I had set up an appointment, excuse me, to take the dog into the vet, and they could have saved the dog. But with my selfishness, with my traps were alcohol and drugs, my traps were the streets, my traps were all the things that appeared to be worthwhile and worth something, but they didn't give me anything in return. When I was supposed to be home taking the dog to the vet, I was out getting cocaine, putting a needle in my arm, and shooting it up to get a quick rush. The dog died. It was a hurtful thing to have to go home and face my wife and my kids and see the hurt and disappointment in their eyes, even though it was just the dog. But how many times in your life have your children, have loved ones that have cared about you, that have looked at you with that disappointment in their eyes because you weren't there, because you were not following through with what you said you were going to do? The definition of a man or a woman is to be accountable for what you have created. If you've created a family, if you've created a job, whatever it is you've created, you are supposed to be responsible to it and accountable to it. Because when you cease to be accountable, somebody's going to lay hands on you. I think you know what I mean. When we try to find the easier, softer way, someone is there to lay hands on you. And when we are not accountable and somebody else is holding us accountable, we have problems with that because we don't like what they end up doing to us. But we never want to take the responsibility for the fact that we did it to ourselves. I want to go through, and I would like to tell the overhead operator, the scriptures that I gave you, that's dead. This is dead. Hallelujah, I thought I had it fully charged, but at any rate, God is moving in me anyway, and I'm going to bring forth this message, and I hope it makes sense to you. I have learned to love people. I have learned to care about people. I don't use, I don't abuse, I don't take advantage of, I don't try to get over our people, places, and things, because I found that that's nothing but a trap. Right. The world shows us that if you look at the billboards, if you look at the advertising around us, if you want to have a beautiful blonde wife or whatever, you know, you got to have Budweiser attached to it. You know, if you want to have this raven-haired beauty, you got to have the Captain Jack, what rum, whatever it is. You know, you got to have that. You know, everything in this world that advertises that takes something from you, they attach something that is beautiful to it. But it's just a lie, because there's nothing more than a trap. And what it is, it's really a snare. And the reason that I say it's a snare, you know, the steel jaw trap, all these other traps, they are immediate. You step in it, you're caught. They got you. But you know what a snare does? A snare allows you to stick your head into it. It allows you to go further and further and further into it. By the time you decide it's time to stop and come out of it, that's when the snare goes to work. It's got you trapped. It is not going to allow you to move. And the more you struggle, the more you try to get out of it, the closer you get to death. This happens to all of us. There's a process that happens mentally. And it's not even anything that we're aware of. It's just the way that we're built. It's a four-step process. And the process is, in our lives, we have activating events. Whatever that event may be, the first time that you do anything, that's the first step. The second step is that there's an evaluation of what just happened. And short of being burned in fire or having a great amount of pain hit you, you go back and repeat these same things over and over. Some reason, pain registers in the brain, and it will stop you unless there's something wrong with you. And unfortunately, there are some people that have those issues. But nonetheless, the third step is the hypothesis. The hypothesis is, I did this, I liked it, I didn't like it, I want to like it more. How else can I try? What other set or setting can I get into to enhance it or to make it feel better? And the interesting thing about this, why you're going through this hypothesis, short of fire, we don't think about not doing it. We don't put that in the equation. And the fourth step goes right back to the first step, is that we go back out and try it again. And this process continues over and over and over again. If I may give you an example, rhetorical question, you don't have to hold your hand up, but are there cigarette smokers in the church? You know? Think about the first time that you lit up that first cigarette. You almost hacked up a lung. Your body was telling you right away, I don't like this. This is not good for me. But what do? We continue to force ourselves to do it until we can get to the point of acceptance. Even though on the other side of it, the cigarette theoretically is bringing us pleasure, bringing us joy. But on the other side of it, it's creating cancer. It's putting us in a deficit position. It will ultimately kill us. And the harder we try to get away from it, the more that snare closes. The more we're picking that pack of cigarettes, that next cigarette back up. And I know this because I smoked for over 30 years. And I gave up cocaine. I gave up alcohol. I gave up all of those things. But cigarettes was the hardest one for me to give up. And I don't know about for any of you that have quit, but it was the hardest one for me to give up. But nonetheless, these traps exist. Where do these traps come from? There's the velvet trap. That's the worst one of all, really. The velvet trap is the one where there's this beautiful woman or this handsome guy that you want to chase after because you think that they're your ideal, that they're going to give you the world, that they're going to give you everything that you want and need, because they will tell you that. But nonetheless, you find out you made a mistake not too far into the relationship, and you find out that it is a trap. It doesn't matter whether it's velvet, iron, wood, rope, steel, or whatever. A trap is a trap. The trap was designed, and the first trap was set by Satan in Genesis. He set it for Adam and Eve. He set it for Eve first, and then Eve brought Adam into it. And he has continually set forth and use those same traps against us. He can't create anything new, but he is very good at the things that he does to deceive people. We believe in our uniqueness and the ability. I've got it all worked out. I've got it figured out. I know why this works this way and that works that way and why the earth turns on the left-hand axis. Let me ask you this. How is that really working out for you, your very best thinking? Are you getting out of life what you want? Are you getting out of life the things you said that you should even deserve, even the way that you're going about trying to get it? Because when you go about trying to get it the wrong way, there's always a price to pay. And it usually ends up with somebody somewhere putting their hands on you. And the worst thing of all is when Satan has got his hand on you, oh my, it is so hard to shake loose. Because Satan used the things of this world, the light, the flash, the glitter. He uses all of these things to attract you to put that snare around your neck and you go deeper into it and try stepping out of it. I think you all know where I'm going. I think you all know exactly what it is I mean by this. In my life, I grew up in a home where there was just my mother. I saw my father every Sunday in church, and the man would never acknowledge me. And I grew up with issues about that, because as a child growing up seeing this, the only thing that I could surmise was that I was the problem, that why they were not together. I didn't understand issues of men and women or whatever else. And my mother didn't see fit, because I grew up in a time when children were to be seen and not heard. So you didn't ask a whole bunch of questions unless you wanted to get backhand. And just the reality of it. You know, so I grew up and I acted out in the things that I did. But the one thing that I had told myself is that when I grow up and I have a family of my own, I will be there for my children as my father was not there for me. Again, making an assumption that's not based on fact. I didn't give any thought to the fact of being in love with a woman that I couldn't stand. Now, I know that I'm the only one that's ever gone through that. Nobody else has had to deal with that, you know. And I ended up getting divorced. I ended up, while I was in prison, my divorce papers came. I knew I was getting divorced, you know. But I went to my cell and I cried. And I didn't cry because I was weak. I cried because I was hurt. Here was yet something else in my life that I had failed at. Here is the price that I had to pay for my very best thinking. My very best thinking got me to where I was. It became unacceptable to me, but I did not know how to come out of this trap. I didn't know how to stop it. I told myself after I got divorced that I would never marry again. And then I met my wife, my current wife. Now, 35 years later, in November, September, we have been together. Because of coming to this church, because of Richard Thomas, because of John Grant, because of Roy Grant, because of these men over the years, when I was in prison, I went to prison after having been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. I kept one foot in the world and one foot in church. I didn't want to commit myself because of a lot of things that I had seen in the church that I grew up in where I came from. But I was going to do it my way because I had all the answers. It's kind of interesting about us. One of the traps that we fall into also as people is we don't ask anybody anything. We figure we've got all the answers worked out and we're going to go out and do it our way. And again, that circular thinking kicks in. I tried it this way, it didn't work, so I'm going to try it this way, and I'm going to try it again. Something has to happen to break that cycle. Something had to happen. But because coming into this church and finally going to prison for the last time, I came to the realization of something very obvious. And the awareness that I came to, that I was better than the situations I kept placing myself into. I could not blame anyone else. It wasn't somebody else's fault. It wasn't because I was black. It wasn't because I was Madison. None of those excuses worked. It was because of my own bad thinking, and I didn't look for anything else to improve the quality of my life. That was when I realized I didn't have anywhere else to go. I did what I had done a number of times before. When my back was up against the wall, oh, Lord, help me, and I'll never do it again. And he sit on high and look low, and he said, you're lying, because I know the beginning from the ending. I know you're lying, but nonetheless, I'm going to show you grace. Nonetheless, I'm going to give you another opportunity. How many opportunities have you had in your life? How many of those opportunities have you tricked off because you knew better? Again, I ask, how is your thinking working out for you? Are you getting the results that you want? And this isn't just for people in CIP. This is for the church at large. This is for these young people over here who are making decisions about how the rest of their life is going to be, and they got it all figured out. Yeah. As the old saying goes from the old school, you better ask somebody. You really better ask somebody. Because what you believe is actual and true very well could be a snare that you're already setting up, that's been set up in your life, and you're getting ready to walk off into. I'm going to close. The musicians can come up now. The one thing that I want to leave you with is this. Now, I've been an alcohol and drug counselor now for about 22 years. And I work with thousands of people, and I work with people in CIP. And you try to give people the answers. And I found that you can't give the person the answer because they don't accept it. They won't accept it. You know, everybody wants something. That woman right there in the gray hat, God, not only did I marry this woman, but God gave me a virtuous woman. Crazy. I don't worry about some other man coming into my marriage. I don't worry about any drama coming up in my house. That woman loves the Lord more than she loves me. And you know what? I don't have a problem with that. All of the things that you have wanted in your life, you can have them. You can have them right here tonight. You can start the process right here tonight, or continue to lean to your own understanding. The Bible tells us that we should not lean to our own understanding because we don't know what it is that we simply don't know. We know that there's an end result. We know there's a price to be paid for it. But yet we continue to do the same things over and over because I'm smarter than any and everybody else. Again, how is that working out for you? Hallelujah. It's an interesting thing about people. People believe that the answers sometimes in life are complicated. And I've had clients and people that I've worked with, and they want to know, what's the answer? What's the answer? You know, now, if I had told them to go out and paint yourself Yucatan sunset yellow, run up and down the Beltline for a half an hour ducking in and out of traffic, stick feathers all over yourself, and go and do something else goofy, they would have went and tried that. They would have went and tried that. But I'm going to give you something that's old school tonight, because I'm old school, and I'm going to give it to you for free. The answer to your questions are immediate and they're simple. Three things, only three things in life you got to do. You ain't got to paint yourself all these different colors. You don't have to go through all these strange gyrations and jump up and down and burn incense and all this. You don't have to do any of that. All you got to do is come down to this altar. If you don't want to do that, stay where you're at. And someone in this church will come to you. All you got to do is raise up your hand and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I have sinned. And the thing is, you are not telling him anything that he doesn't know. Nothing is hidden from him. The Bible tells us from the very foundation of the earth, before the earth was created, God knew that you all would be here tonight. He knew that my battery was going to go dead. He knew that he was going to guide my thoughts and that I was going to allow him to do that. That I have found that I can't drive this thing up here that's my car, because every time I do, I run into the brick wall, and I run into the brick wall in the same place every time. Something has to change. The Bible tells us that there needs to be a renewing of the mind. Why? Because there's something wrong with the sinful mind of man. It has to change. And how are you going to do that? If you were sin, living in sin, it's the same thing with your parents. The parents are giving you faulty information. You sit back for the rest of your life giving yourself faulty information. How is it going to change when you don't know what it is you need to change? The only way you find that out is coming down to this altar, repenting of your sins, lifting up your hands, and receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This flesh is filthy. I can't stand this flesh because that's what kept me a victim to it for 40 years, along with my own thinking. But the day that I went a different place, behind this wall is a baptismal tank. In our old church, there was a baptismal tank. I decided one day that I needed to go behind that wall. I needed to do something different about my life, even though I wasn't ready to commit myself completely. But when I went down in that water and I came back up, it was as if shackles had fallen off my eyes. Everything was brighter. Everything was lighter. Everything smelled better. Everything about it was just so much better. I was clean. I was clean. I didn't have any more of that filth of the world clinging to me. I didn't have that snare around me that was dragging me down. Even though in my own ignorance, in my own pride, I went on and continued to try to do it my way, to try to keep one foot in church and worship and serve God, but also go out and hang around friends. Hey, I'm going to be around you guys, but, you know, I'm a Christian now. I don't drink. I don't do drugs anymore. I don't do any of those things. Yeah, right. Wasn't long before I was right back doing the same old thing. Still going to church on Sunday, you know, but I had a Sunday experience. When you come down here and give your life to God, you're talking about 24/7, 365. This is a lifestyle. What is the reward for this lifestyle? Besides complete salvation because of being healed from whatever problems you have as a dope addict, I contracted Hep C, shooting up drugs. Went to the doctor. My wife asked me, "How's your Hep C?" I asked the doctor. This was after I prayed, after I had continued to, you know, seek after God. And the doctor looked at me and just looked at my record. And he said, "What Hep C?" God took it away. He healed me. Hep C will take you out of here. I used to wonder why. And I pose this question to you. More than likely, each and every one of you has lost someone or knows someone that has died to alcohol, drugs, or the streets. They did the same identical thing that you have done. Why are you still here? God has given you a space of time to repent. He has given you time to get your life in order. You can't continue to put this off, because the reality of life is here today, gone today. The only thing that is promised to us is today. Now is the time of your salvation. Now is the time to do something different about your life. Now is the time to get that deliverance that you want. Now is the time to get God. Pastor.
Hallelujah. 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 It came from his heart. It came from God. That thing died. I'm happy about that. That means God had his way in this place. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The doctor's office is open. The great physician is here. He healed my brother of Hep C. We know of so many other healings that he's done. If you have a need tonight, it's your opportunity. Come on up here. If your body, you know, if you're sick, you need help. If you need to be encouraged, if you're struggling with something, come on up in the middle. If you'd stand. Hallelujah. If God's dealing with you, if you need salvation, Bible salvation, CIP, if you need prayer, come on up here. It ain't easy. We can't do this alone, church. I don't know where I'd be if somebody wouldn't have prayed with me. When I first came into this church, Brother Claude, where you at? He prayed for me. Brought me to tears. He didn't know who I was. We want to pray for you. We don't know who you are, but we want to know you. We want to pray with you. Hallelujah. If you have a need, bring it to the altar. Jesus, have your way. There is power in the name of Jesus.